It is Monday morning, and we have a very special guest with us this morning. We have the outreach director from the Johnson Weld Campaign. It's Jim Wallace joining us here live on a Monday morning. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good, Mike. Margaret, how are you guys this morning?
Good morning, Jim. It's been a while since you and I've spoken. I'm glad we've had an opportunity to bring you on today.
Yeah, we appreciate the time. We know how busy things are. Heck, we're, what, a week and one day away? The season has been incredibly busy. And our first question, or at least my first question, is tell us how you got involved with the Johnson Weld Campaign.
Wow, that's a longer story, but I'll try to compress it. I, as you know, I've been a candidate and served in elected office in Indiana in years past, and I got to know Governor Johnson and Governor Weld over the years, and when Gary Johnson decided to make a go of it again this year, I reconnected with Gary earlier in the year, and once we got him nominated at the Libertarian National Convention, I climbed on right away, first as state director and then as Great Lakes regional director, and eventually taking over as the national director of outreach and kind of chief of staff of the campaign. So it's been a roller coaster ride and a rocket at the same time. Just a great election season so far.
So you guys have had lots of really, really great press. Better press than we've ever seen in the Libertarian Party for a presidential election before. So I've got to believe that you've been partially involved with that, the reason for that. So tell us what's been going on. What's the latest going on in the Johnson Weld campaign?
Yes, it's been crazy. As you said, Margaret, we've had just a ton of media this year. It's been a historic campaign for the establishment parties as well, the Republicans and Democrats, having elected their candidates. But then Gary and Bill Weld are also pretty well known in their own right. Both of them were two-term governors, Republican governors in Democratic states before coming over to the Libertarian Party. And they've just been media darlings. They've been on just about every major network news program, all the regional programs as well. And on top of that, we've been in just about every state now, I believe, in the nation at least once. We've been in a dozen cities over the last 10 days, and we're going to be in 12 events over the next 6 days as well. So,
oh my.
I think we've been to more places and been seen by more people than just about anything other than Hillary Clinton's emails.
Oh, Jim Wallace is our guest this morning. He's the outreach director of the Johnson Weld campaign. And you talk about media, you talk about the election and everything. How important is it for the Libertarian Party as a whole to have major newspapers from major cities backing and endorsing your candidates?
That's unprecedented. We've had half a dozen newspapers in the major cities endorse Governor Johnson and Governor Weld. Some from pretty, you know, unlikely sources. So that's been a real big boost, and it's really propelled the campaign to places and situations that libertarians have, you know, had a difficult time bringing their message before. So that's the print media and the traditional media is important, but the social media as well. We've just been off the charts in terms of fundraising, in terms of outreach, support. We signed up some 100,000 volunteers and supporters, I believe it was in the first 30 days after the nomination period, just through social media outreach. At this point, I think we're still eclipsing Donald Trump in terms of volunteer outreach, and we're running neck and neck with Hillary Clinton on volunteers as well. So,
do you believe
both traditional and social media have been very strong?
Do you believe that is the foundation, or is it more issue driven based on the candidates and the other issues of the two parties? What do you think has been the momentum point for the campaign?
It's been equal, I'd say. Initially, it was very issue driven. Libertarianism, for example, is all about minimum government and maximum freedom. We are fiscally conservative and socially inclusive. Both establishment parties long ago gave up any claim to either one of those. fiscal conservatism, small government, or social inclusion. They want to, as we like to say, we want to be out of your pocketbook and out of your bedroom. Well, each of the other two parties want to be in your pocketbook and in your bedroom. We just don't believe that. That was kind of the start of the campaign. I think the muckraking and rolling around in the mud that Trump and Clinton have engaged in over the summer have just disgusted voters, and that's driven a lot of observation and interest our way. And Gary and Bill, we've tried to make sure that we hew close to the message and the issues, but the other candidates keep trying to drag America and the American people through the mud, and we're just not going to do that.
Jim Wallace is our guest this morning. He's the outreach director for the Johnson Weld campaign. And the message that you've mentioned here, why has it taken hold? Do you think it's a fundamental shift in values from the two-party system that people are just frankly sick and tired of it? Or is it more we live in an a la carte world where people are more worried about perhaps not party but what's best for them?
That is a great question and a great insight. It's actually people are just fed up with crony capitalism and crony politics. And this bodes especially well for the Libertarian Party, I should say, too. You know, there's just too much influence from Wall Street and Washington. There's too much cronyism trying to insinuate its way into our daily lives. And nobody's going to be harmed by that more than the millennials or our veterans and military. And guess who the number one?
That was my next question.
That was going to be mine too. Is who's supporting the Johnson Weld campaign?
it's millennials and it's veterans and military. Just about half of the voting population, those two groups alone comprise about 55 million voters around the country. We're leading at 38% with millennials under 35, and we're at 35%, leading at 35% with veterans and military. Incidentally, neither of which is sampled in any of the major polls. CNN excludes under 35 voters from their polling, and Fox News and the traditional news media tend to undersample independents and military by about 1/6 of the actual total. So it's no surprise to us that we're polling below the other candidates because they're not asking the people that are going to vote for us.
Well, that's an interesting sidebar to all of that. Jim Wallace, the outreach director of the Johnson Weld campaign, is our guest this morning. We appreciate his time here on a Halloween Monday. And when we look at the issues that are presented, why are the veterans and the millennials grabbing onto what's happening here? Do they feel they've been left out, left behind, or do you have a plan that they are understanding a little bit more clearly than maybe some of the rhetoric from the right and the left?
We're the only ones talking about the issues that matter to either one of them. We oppose regime change. We don't believe that we should be the world's policemen. That's particularly important to veterans and members of the military and their families. Then with regard to millennials, we're the only ones offering plans that will spare them the cost, the enormous cost of maintaining the entitlement state of the federal government, whether it's Social Security and Medicare or any of the transfer programs of the federal government. Who's going to pay for that? It's all of the voters under age 35. And Gary's out there every day. I'm on the road with Governor Johnson every day delivering the message that, hey, we don't want to deprive those of us that have paid into Social Security and Medicare of your benefits, but we definitely need to retool how that's going to be structured going forward because it's just not affordable. It was originally conceived by FDR as a Ponzi scheme. It's still a Ponzi scheme, and it ain't getting any better. And Gary Johnson and Bill Weld are the only ones talking about that. So I think that's what's resonating with the millennials.
So, Jim, where are you going to be here in the next? I mean, you mentioned 12
Hurry.
Events. Where are you going to be?
Everywhere. Besides everywhere, where are you going to be?
Everywhere. We're everywhere. Yes, we're going to be in 12 different locations over the next week. Folks in Indiana will have our next chance. We're just in Detroit, actually, Friday, and Cincinnati on Saturday. We're going to be in Chicago on the 5th, Saturday the 5th. Gary will be there at 6 o'clock on Saturday. But we're also going to be in Atlanta, Memphis, Portland, Kansas City, Sacramento, San Diego.
Well, that's what you have to do, right?
I hope you guys are getting your mileage.
Miles, right.
Yeah, yeah. I hope you're doing that.
I wake up in the morning and I have to remind myself what city we're in. But we're gonna finish up next weekend with Gary's going to be back in New Mexico at Albuquerque. And Governor Weld is going to be in Boston at Faneuil Hall, the Cradle of Liberty, the night before Election Day. Then we'll all converge on Albuquerque to celebrate our successes on election night. And we'll be live streaming those events every night this week as we have. And we'd invite all of our folks, all of our supporters to join us on those events.
And if you want to see this live streamed, do you go to the website or do you go to the Facebook page?
Yes.
You know, it's,
you can't lose.
The easiest way to do it is probably through Facebook. Mr. Zuckerberg, don't mean to give you a plug, but just go to Gary Johnson on Facebook, and all of our events are carried on our webpage, Facebook page
Live.
There.
Very helpful.
Yeah, you can also get to him through the website, which of course is johnsonweld.com.
And I'm there right now. Very clean, very easy to read, very easy to navigate. You have to have that in this day and age. A little philosophical question before we let you get back to your 47 states and 200 cities you need to get to here in the next week. The plan moving forward, if the result is not optimum on election day, you've gathered some momentum, you've gathered some ears and eyes you haven't seen before. What's the next step in taking the party forward, do you believe?
The next step is really consolidating the gains that we've made over this last several months. We will exceed the 5% threshold in just about every state. We're looking at over 20% in half a dozen states and over 10% in 42 states. That, of course, positions the Libertarian Party and small government movement very well for the next election cycle, 2020. So, If for some reason we should not win outright, the election may go to Congress. If the Electoral College can't pick the winner, we're prepared for that. Afterwards, if we're not successful in our quest this year, we'll be back at it in 2020, stronger, more well-funded, and ready to take the message of minimum government, maximum freedom all across Indiana and all across America.
Jim, excellent job this morning.
Thank you for helping us out with this, Jim. The Libertarian Party is very grateful for all your hard work.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on this morning.
All right, safe travels, Jim, and we'll hopefully catch up with you down the road. We'd love to have you back.
All right, we'll see you, Mike. See you, Margaret. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Wallace, the outreach director from the Johnson Weld campaign. Great job, Margaret Fetty, getting that organized for us on a Monday morning.
Happy to do it.
And,
to do it.
Jim, good stuff there with the, again, just the information.
He's really good people, and he knows his stuff, and he's been very effective.